Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shouts heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a packed show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors. And you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. If you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast at most of the major podcasting sites. And Tom's Tirades are up via podcast at castbox.com. And as I said, we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight. So if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on the stories that we cover, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day, which include coming up later. Heat illnesses are on the rise in military training, and it may have an impact on how we train to fight. We'll talk about that. Also, the Army is spending big bucks to train soldiers to take the fight underground. An interesting story there. And a new law may give a boost to the ranks of one of the major veteran service organizations. We will give you the details and tell you what to expect there. And yet another case of scammers targeting military and veterans with a phony charity. And there was a lot of money involved in this one. Also, a dying Green Beret meets with the president to ask for changes to the Ferris Doctrine. It's a great story. Hopefully, there will be some movement on that soon. And a follow-up to a story we covered last week, we talked about what veterans felt, what their thoughts were on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now we're going to find out what the spouses of those service members feel about those wars. And of course, Tom's Tirade on Destined for the Dustbin. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, in the wake of a VA Inspector General report released earlier this month, a number of veterans may be getting a refund from Uncle Sam. And the story is off military.com. And there's a tremendous amount of money involved in this as well. Disabled veterans who mistakenly paid a funding fee for their VA-backed home loans could be receiving letters notifying them of impending refunds. A VA spokeswoman said that the department has approved more than $100 million in refunds to borrowers who were erroneously charged. And they're saying the payments are expected to be processed by September 30th. And, you know, Tom, if you've ever dealt with the VA for a home loan, and I've done it a couple of times, but as a disabled veteran, a lot of the fees and things like that are waived. And apparently, what the VA is claiming is that the money that was charged to these veterans who should have been exempt because of their disability status, some of this had to do with the fact that it was the banks that were processing these loans that didn't really know all the rules. And consequently, if the veteran didn't know what the rules were, they ended up paying these fees. And it looks like over 50,000 veterans may be owed a total of $189 million. If you're a veteran, and Tom, here's the thing. This is not the first time that this has occurred. The VA previously refunded $97 million to 19,700 affected veterans between January 2012 and December of 2017.
Well, they don't remember?
And that's one of the things that why you have to have an Inspector General's report to find this out. You should simply be able to go through and look at what was charged to which veterans. And you would think that the VA itself would have been looking at this when you look at the fact that they previously had to refund to this disabled veterans who should not have been charged a fee. But you're looking at some of these fees. Well, the average fee was a little over $4,000, almost $4,500. The highest fee topped out at over $19,000.
Well, that's so, a funding fee could, charge.
You know,
Cal, what the hell are they charging that fee for? Do you know? And why, if the banks charge it, why is the VA refunding it?
Well, because ultimately the money made its way to the VA.
Okay.
In the process, this also goes into, if you remember, there, this is part of the funding mechanism for the Blue Water Navy veterans is going to come from these fees for non-disabled veterans. They, you know, there's a fee depending on the size of the loan and all that kind of stuff. But for non-disabled veterans, those fees are their fees are going to help fund that disability compensation for the Blue Water Navy veterans. So it may be that the VA figured out, if we're going to start having to take the money from this and apply it to the disability compensation, somebody said, well, we might want to get our ducks in a row and make sure that
What, the VA's gonna get their ducks in a row? You know, that's a damn life to start with. Come on.
Of course, they're always going to have some. Yeah. There were actually two senators, Senator John Boozman and John Tester, a Republican and a Democrat, that introduced legislation earlier this month to ensure that the veterans that were mistakenly charged would be repaid. And it would also require the VA to develop an automated process for generating a refund and report annually to Congress on the number of funding fee refunds it issues. Now, you would think, Tom, that because this has come to light, you would hope that they don't have to do this for many years, that they can process this get the money back to the service members, the veterans, and move on. So I don't know. It seems to me, Tom, there's a little bit of maybe the VA is trying to cover its rear end and get this done before Congress steps in and imposes some legislation and some rules on it. But if you believe that you have been affected, you can always check the closing documents for your home loan and see if there was a charge in there for the VA funding fee. And if that's the case, then you can always contact the VA to make sure that you do receive a refund. But, you know, it's just another one of those great things that the VA comes up with and shoots themselves in the foot, Tom. Anyway, there's more information at the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. On the other side of the break, things are heating up when it comes to military training. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And you can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. And hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And speaking of Facebook, Tom, I know you picked up something off Facebook. That's kind of a dangerous thing to think about you out in the world of tech.
Watch it.
It's some information that we do want to pass on. So go ahead.
Yeah, so we heard about all of the Marines that got killed up in New Hampshire when that flatbed trailer just went through a bunch of motorcycle riders and cleaned them out. I think it killed like seven members and associates of undoubtedly a Marine Corps League there. But there's a local benefit being performed here in the Mobile area. It's that Bob's Downtown Diner, downtown in Mobile. It's a poker run, which will benefit the Jarheads from New Hampshire 7. It'll be Sunday morning. Golly, who's going to be up at that early? Sunday morning, July the 28th at 8 a.m. They must be staying up all night or something, Charlie. Yeah. Sunday morning, July the 28th at 8 a.m. at Bob's Downtown Diner, the poker run there. And all of the monies will be forwarded to the group in New Hampshire on due to their untimely deaths and tragedy from the vehicles striking them up there. But also, I got an old coffee-drinking buddy of mine that I'd like to say a shout-out to there. It's Professor Jack, my super historian and researcher extraordinaire. You owe me a cup of coffee when I see you, Big Jack. But go ahead there, Mr. Cal. You know, you're talking about the VA's going to get his ducks in a row. I've been waiting for that all my life. I mean, I didn't know they had ducks, but I'd like to see them do it anyway.
Well, that it would be nice, but you know, Tom, it's like we've talked about before. It seems like there is always some sort of crisis that is discovered at the VA, and something like that, Tom. It seems like it would be very simple. Somewhere along the way, because to get a VA loan, it's not an overnight process. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of back and forth, and you just have to wonder why you don't have somebody doing some sort of quality control and simply looking. I mean, it should be very simple, because you have to submit, your paperwork if you're a disabled veteran. All that has to be checked out, and you have to have a letter from the VA letting the VA know that you qualify. So it would seem like somebody somewhere could take one piece of paper and compare it to the other piece of paper.
No, that's
and go, oops.
That's too damn simple, Cal. You know, we got to make all this stuff, hard to do with. But the other thing, I mean, these blue water sailors have been injured due to Agent Orange. Why doesn't that money come out of the fund that the other veterans are receiving their money from? Why does the veterans buying homes have to pay these funds so that they can pay other veterans for their injuries due to a stupidity in the services call? I don't understand.
Well, Tom, I think part of the issue, and probably one of the reasons why it has taken so long for the Blue Water vets to get the disability compensation that they deserve, is because of the fact that you had folks, the lawmakers up there, trying to figure out how they were going to pay for this. They're basically robbing from Peter to pay Paul. But, it's where were they going to find the funding? And when they finally... you had the court case that basically said no, that the writing was on the wall for the VA knowing that if they didn't step up, they probably were going to be facing this in court at some
right.
point.
Yeah, right. That's the reason they did it. But it still bothers me to the fact that the vets are having to pay for it through funds for loans that we are entitled to for being a vet. And it, I'd rather see it come out of the other Agent Orange fund, wherever the other monies are coming from, and then the vets not have to pay all these stupid funds. Come on.
Well, the thing about it is, for veterans who do not have a VA-related disability, they have to pay that funding fee anyway, and it's really no different than if you went to a regular bank to get a mortgage. There are all kinds of closing costs and funding fees and all that go along with those loans as well. I just think the difference here is, like you said, you're basically having one group of veterans who are funding the disability for this other group of veterans instead of the VA and the lawmakers figuring out a way to find funding for it. You know, I mean, if they weren't building, you know, what $500,000 rock sculptures in the middle of some of the VA facilities,
right,
they might have some money
right.
to be able to pay.
Well, I guess I had to be reconciled with the fact that at least the money that the veterans are paying in is coming back to other veterans. So I guess I'll have to be appeased with that. If anybody's worried about me being appeased about his damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, you can be appeased by it. It's still, to me, it seems ridiculous that, you know, they're actually increasing those fees on the non-disabled veterans to fund this. They still didn't. They didn't say, okay, we're going to save some money here so we can apply it over here. They just went out and found another pot of money
right,
to be able to
right.
take
yeah.
out of somebody's pocket.
Another source. Yeah. yeah.
But
well, they didn't appease me. They just peed on me.
Oh boy.
Well, it is what it is.
It is. A couple of interesting stories, and the first one is relatively short, but it's the New York Daily News. I don't know, it's kind of an odd place for it to come from, except for the fact that they're trying to blame this on global warming, climate change, sorry. But the story says, as global temperatures rise, the number of heat-related illnesses of active duty service members is rising as well. Now, first of all, I'm not even going to go down the road of climate change and all the phony science and all that kind of stuff. But the statistics show a 60% increase of heat stroke or heat exhaustion cases between 2008 and 2018. From 1,766 to 2,792. Over that same stretch of time, at least 17 troops have died from heat-related complications during training exercises. And not surprising, most of the 40% of the injuries are at forts or bases that are in the South. Most are Army bases, the Camp Lejeune being the only Marine Corps facility that's listed. But, you know, Tom, when I was at boot camp, you know, it got hot because I was there during the summer. But, you know, if it got to a certain point, the red flag went up, you know, we route stepped everywhere.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
they took that into account.
We went in about
I'm just wondering
half speed mode, you know.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you kind of had to,
right?
You know, simply because you would injure, you know, end up having some recruits that were injured. I think part of this is just the political correctness run amok, but you know, we always, not only that, Tom, but we drank water nonstop.
Oh yes, water and salt pills.
You had to empty out. Yeah, you had to empty out that canteen and open, you know, turn it upside down on your head so that the drill instructor knew that you were not faking it. So, But, you know, with all the modern technology, who knows? Maybe they're forgetting to drink water. But anyway.
They don't have enough Gatorade.
Boosting membership. Boosting membership in our veteran service organizations might be coming as part of a new law when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And you check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And Tom, story we were going to try to get before the break, but I definitely want to jump into it. It's a lengthy article that's in the stack. But it, talking about the training and the heat related illnesses, I guess, you know, one of the things you could do to stop the heat related illnesses is get out of the sun. And apparently that's part of what the Army's doing.
Do they have to put that in writing, Cal?
I was going to. I don't know, but well, they've got to do something with it because the Army is spending $500 million to train soldiers to fight underground.
All right, they found a way. They found a way to get away from the heat. Awesome.
That's
very intelligent.
The Army has launched an accelerated effort that funnels some $572 million. Into training and equipping 26 of its 31 active combat brigades to fight in large-scale subterranean facilities that exist beneath dense urban areas around the world. And it's interesting, Tom, that they're looking at this from the perspective of some areas that we figure that there could be a conflict there. And it's not as if the military hasn't had to fight underground before. Goodness knows we had the tunnel rats and we had to, fight the Japanese all over in those islands that were honeycombed with underground facilities. But when they look at it, there was an assessment last year that said there are about 10,000 large-scale underground military facilities around the world.
Woo.
That's just a staggering. To me, that's a staggering number, Tom.
That is. That's unbelievable.
There are more than 4,800 of them are located in North Korea.
What? 4,800.
Right. Well, I mean, you hear. Well, you hear all about, the North Koreas, their underground nuclear testing and all of that. But they apparently, in addition to its underground nuclear facilities, North Korea has the capability to move thousands of troops through deep tunnels beneath the border into South Korea. And they're talking numbers of 30,000 heavily armed troops per hour.
Damn, that's unbelievable. But now I know why we're starting the underground training.
Well, and I think it's one of those problems that you would think, okay, if we're going to fight in an urban environment, it's not going to matter whether it's underground or above ground. But when you think about it, Tom, you've got lack of lighting. You may have lack of oxygen supplies. And a number of other things that would necessitate actually training in that environment rather than just taking the same tactics that you would use in an above ground environment there. But they're even talking about that they're going to have to equip some of these units with special equipment, including different smart radios. So that you can hear much further underground, that you can actually keep your communication going. The units aren't cheap. They're talking about having to drop in oxygen, having protective masks. One of the really unusual things, Tom, is the units will have special hand-carried ballistic shields. I guess kind of like what you would see the SWAT team use, because the tunnels really don't give you much cover from enemy fire.
Right. Yeah, and they don't have any rocks that you can hide behind.
Not really. But anyway, it was an interesting story. Like I said, it's a very lengthy article that's in the stack that you can pick up on. A couple of others that I want to touch on. There's a new law that is expected to be signed soon by President Trump, but it will allow thousands of honorably discharged veterans to join the American Legion. Under the new law, any honorably discharged veteran who has served since December 7th, 1941 may join the American Legion. And I know, Tom, I think you're familiar with it. I don't know how many of our listeners are. But prior to that, or once this is signed, at one point, the American Legion, you had to have served during a recognized period of declared war, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. And so by taking that, and I know it sounds odd that why would Congress have why would there have to be legislation for a veteran service organization? Well, the American Legion is actually chartered. It's a federally chartered organization. So that's where the change comes in. And so they are hoping or thinking that you will have this may help reverse the decline in membership for the American Legion. Ironically enough, Tom, the VFW, which has some similar, I guess you could say, some similar rules about who can and can't join, they actually added 25,000 new members last year, according to their national commander, and that's a lot of folks for the VFW.
That's called ask them to join type conversation.
Well, I think it's absolutely that. You know, Tom, when you and I were doing some recruiting for the Marine Corps League, and you know, it may have sounded kind of ridiculous, but the reality is if you wanted to go and recruit and bring new members on, you have to go where those members are.
Right.
And you've got to go where veterans are. And I think you've got to, even though they opened up the door here for a number of other veterans to be able to join the American Legion, I think the Legion itself still has to recognize that today's veterans are not looking for a watering hole,
right,
to right. spend their evenings
the
and afternoons.
They've turned
You've
into
got
a
to
local
give
joint.
Them a reason to show up.
Right.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out once President Trump signs it. He has not indicated when he will do that, but there's nothing saying that he would not move forward with that legislation. Another story real quick, Tom. We hear about it all the time. There's some fraud, a phony shyster out there who is trying to make money off of our military families. And the gentleman, John Simpson, he'd founded Marines and Mickey, which was a charitable organization that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars from Marine families and private donors. And the money was supposed to go to help send Marine families to Disney World or boot camp graduations at Paris Island or San Diego. Instead, out of the $481,000 that he raised in 2 years, Tom, he took $391,000 for his own use.
Rip off, sucker.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, folks, we've said it before. Find a reputable charity. Check them out. See what they're doing, boots on the ground, before you start throwing money at them. Anyway, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Destined for the Dustbin. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Up we die, stabbing a flame from under. Up we walk another road.
coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, it is that time of year again. The time when the big boy establishment types start to throw their weight around in their backyards and in front of any camera that they can get into focus. Many will attempt to block out the competition by using their size and strength to squeeze out their competitors before they can begin their run for greatness. It's also the time when the little guy hopes to land a spot in a big dance and pull the upset that will allow them to claim the ring and the title of Cinderella. Many have to pull no punches along the way, trying to outdo the competition on camera and on the court. Of public opinion, they hope to survive long enough to join the ranks of those who can take the stage in the big dance and have an opportunity to stake a claim to the looniest of the left. That's right, while some of you may have thought that I was speaking of NCAA March Madness, I was actually speaking of the madness that has enveloped the once proud Democratic Party as it plows further into the abyss of communism via the path of democratic socialism. With a newfound celebrity of fellow travelers such as the barmaid economist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the anti-Semite Ilhan Omar, it seems that the only way to get ahead on the left is to go straight off the edge of sanity. And nowhere is that better seen than in the laughable number of candidates joining the field of communist candidates for president. One thing of note, as one communist, communist, after another throws their hat into the center ring of the circus is the trouble they may seem to have just getting out of the blocks without tripping over their own verbal baggage. Take Kirsten Gillibrand, for example, a darling of the progressives during the Obama administration with strong ties to the Clintons. I might add, her political star rose under the guise of mistreatment of women, starting with the non-existent epidemic of sexual assault in the military. She eventually moved on to target the austere body in which she resides, the Congress of the United States. In April 2018, the Democrat from New York urged Senate leaders to pass her bipartisan Congressional Harassment Reform Act. Gillibrand wrote in Fortune magazine, quote, "Congress has a sexual harassment problem, and it isn't taking it seriously. If we can't clean up our own act, how can anyone expect Congress to do the right thing for victims and survivors in the rest of the country? Congress has to do better. I believe that elected officials should be held to the highest ethical standard, not the lowest." Of course, this was at the height of the Me Too movement, and Gillibrand was trying her hardest to stake her claim as its leader. She did not fare too badly, and of course went on to harass Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh during his confirmation hearings, again scoring points with the loony left. Unfortunately for Gillibrand, as is the case with so many leftist politicians, activists, and actors, they want you to do as I say, not as I do. You see, while publicly positioning herself as a champion of the harassment victims, Gillibrand apparently allowed a serial harasser to torment her female staff. And when a woman on her staff risked her own career to report the abusive conduct, the staffer was belittled by her office and treated like an inconvenience. Gillibrand kept the harasser on her staff until it proved politically untenable for her to do so. Gillibrand is still pushing legislation, the Military Justice Improvement Act, which would remove the chain of command and make independent prosecutors rather than military commanders responsible for handling allegations of sexual misconduct in the military. The legislation aims to eliminate, quote, "the bias and the inherent conflicts of interest posed by the military chain of command's sole decision-making power." Yet, when faced with such allegations in her own office, she had no concern about bias and inherent conflicts of interest. She is no champion for women. She is a political opportunist, a charlatan, and a hypocrite. Her legislation, her campaign, and her legacy should be one of disgrace, and her star should be a shooting one disintegrating as it falls. Next up, Beto Male O'Rourke, the failed congressman from Texas whose biggest claim to fame is losing to the evil Ted Cruz in the last Senate race. Or maybe it is that O'Rourke, the son of an El Paso County judge, used daddy's position and his assumed white privilege to skirt a DUI conviction in which he fled the scene a la Ted Kennedy. Or maybe it is the fact that he proudly claims that, a follow the high priest of the progressive priesthood, Hussein Obama. They are both equally untested and unqualified to hold office. But such is the hubris of those on the left. You can be a loser, a failed candidate, or in Bill Clinton's case, a serial abuser of women, but the cult of victimhood only lifts you up as high as their savior. Of course, O'Rourke had spewed no limit of garbage from his pie hole during his public life. Unfortunately for Beta Male, his comments compared our greatest generation veterans with the farce that is global warming. Oops, global cooling. Oops, climate change. Got to get the propaganda right. Have shown his utter disrespect for this nation and our veterans. He somehow equates mobs marching to stop cow farts with courageous young men storming beaches in a hail of gunfire to beat back Nazis during World War II. That he is lauded by those on the left as an indication of just how precarious is the state of our nation. However, the fact that his ignorance and disrespect for our veterans, along with the hypocrisy of those such as Gillibrand and her attempts to destroy our military readiness, are on display for everyone to see is encouraging. For the curtain has been pulled back, and everyone can now see that the Democratic Party of today is the anti-American Communist Party of tomorrow, destined for the dustbin of history. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Clarkson.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, yeah!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, streaming live on 106.5 FM and scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, Tom, just going back, touching briefly on that charity scam, the John Simpson, who was sentenced to federal prison, looks like about 4 years in federal prison, which is not, a nice thing. I think he's got a 9-year sentence that he's currently serving in Florida on burglary and sexual battery charges. This guy was a real winner. But, when you look at some of the people that he took money from, he made himself out as a retired master sergeant, former drill instructor, an elite reconnaissance Marine who'd served 20 years. In reality, he enlisted in 1993 and served less than 3 years before going AWOL. And was given a bad conduct discharge. Yeah, the thing about they never.
Are you kidding?
When they never. No, it's never that. Oh, I was a truck driver. I was a cook.
Damn. VCD, and then he's out blowing all that smoke.
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest take that his scheme was more than $100,000. It was donated in honor of Lance Corporal Skip Wells, U.S. Marine killed in a shooting at a Naval Reserve facility in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That included $75,000 of personal money from Wells' own mother. It's one of these things. Obviously, this is a bad apple all the way around. And hopefully he will spend plenty of time rotting away while...
If not, send him on down. We need a new dummy out at the shooting range.
There you go. We talked about last week, Tom, we talked about the fact that there was a very high percentage, 64% of veterans said the Iraq War was not worth fighting. 58% felt the same way about the war in Afghanistan. And there was a story off of Spouse Buzz, which is a site for military service members' spouses. And the author cites those numbers from the Pew poll. The irony is she worked for President Bush in the White House and believed that at the time that it was the right thing to do. Now she says, it's just stop. We've got to bring all our troops home. Wherever they are, And, you know, it's one of those things where we're not the world's policeman. And it's not only the service members, but it's the spouses and family members that suffer along the way. So, interesting story. You can pick it up with Stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program of Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. We thank you for joining us. Please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!